Welcome to the 5 Minute Theory podcast. I am your host, Terry Cook of TC Drive, and we have got a very special extended bonus episode for you today. See, I recently did an interview with Professor Gemma Briggs. Now, Gemma is the head of discipline and professor of applied cognitive psychology at the Open University, and we did a whole conversation around mobile phone use while driving. Now, this went on for over an hour. So I didn't want to share the whole thing with you, but I've taken some lovely little clips that I thought you might find helpful as you develop your journey into becoming a really good, competent and safe driver. So if you're learning to drive, give this a listen to help you keep safe on the roads. But also, if you know someone who uses their mobile phone when they're driving, send them this to listen to. They're going to hear from an actual expert on this topic rather than just pseudoscience or what they've heard their mates say. So I hope you find this interesting. We do have a few more of these bonus episodes coming up over the next few weeks, but we're also going to be coming back for a brand new season, diving more into the theory test to help you learn, understand, and pass your theory test first time. The last thing I'm going to mention before we get stuck into the episode is in the show notes to this episode, you will find a link to some online activities that you can do to help discover if you're a distracted driver or a focused driver. So you can find a link to that in the show notes. But for now, let's have a listen to Professor Gemma Briggs. Why do you think people think they can use their phone and get away with it? If you like, while they drive. I don't mean legally get away with it. I mean get away without any consequences.
There's a really good reason why people do it and at the same time claim that other people shouldn't do it. And that's because all drivers suffer from what we call self-enhancement bias. So I say all drivers, most drivers, the vast majority of drivers. So if you take any group of drivers and you survey them and you say, rate your driving ability on a scale of 0 to 100, I've done this so many times. I do it in live talks when I've got a couple of hundred people. I did it a couple of weeks ago with some newly qualified drivers. And it's always the same. It comes out around 80%. So most drivers consider themselves to be above average at driving. And this is an issue because some drivers will be average, naturally. Some drivers will be below average. But no one really believes that they are average or below average. And this explains why many drivers feel that that means they can do other things. They've got this increased skill, which kind of mitigates for any other risks. And that enables them to be in this weird kind of situation, this kind of dissonant situation where they're like, I completely support the law in relation to handheld mobile phone use. There's never any excuse for handheld mobile phone use. In the RSC report for motoring, 85% of respondents said there's never any excuse to use your mobile phone behind the wheel. Yet, we know that large numbers of people are still doing it. And the reason they can do that is because they're talking about other drivers and how other drivers should behave, not the individual driver themselves. So there's this tension between supporting the law and saying, yeah, but not me, because I'm above average. Everyone else should obey the law, but not me. And I think that's why people will continue to do it. And that's why we need to be really creative in how we get the message across that it really is a problem. And that if you are using your phone in any way, you are part of the problem.
I mean, one of the things I find scary, you said about seeing people using their phone while they're driving, is how long they're looking down for. And it's that I reckon that they probably think they're looking down for a second. But it can be like 5 or 6 seconds sometimes. Do people not realise how long they're taking their eyes off the road for?
I don't think they do. And I think it's all absorbing because it's all to do with how you apply your attention. So people think they can have a quick look down at their phone and then flick the eyes back up. And you see people using their phones doing just that. But they're missing information in that time as they're shifting their eyes and shifting their attention. They think that they're kind of dividing their attention in that way, but they're not. They're shifting it entirely to that phone task, whether it's looking at the screen, sending a message, whatever. And then they're shifting their focus back up to look out of the windscreen. But it's even worse than that because your attention doesn't shift that quickly. So you've got this lag, this is what we call a resumption lag when you shift between tasks. So you might be pointing your eyes back out the windscreen, but in that second or so, you're not actually taking in any information. So you've got multiple problems. Yes, they're definitely looking away for longer than they think they are. But even when they're looking out of the windscreen, immediately after having looked away at their phone, they're not actually taking in information.
I do want to touch back, because a little bit earlier on, we spoke a little bit about multitasking. And I want to ask you about this a little bit, because a definition I heard of multitasking a while ago that's always stuck with me is multitasking is doing two things at the same time badly. So just talk to me a little bit about multitasking, because I think that people don't, you know, it's the old joke about blokes, women can multitask, blokes can't. You know, is it the idea that you can't multitask, it's doing two things badly, or can some people multitask better than others? Or,
well, the idea of multitasking is something of a myth. And this comes down to kind of subjective experience and then what's actually going on in your brain. So we all have this conceptual awareness, this understanding of what multitasking is. Like you said, doing two things at once, usually doing them badly. That's absolutely right. If you try and do two things at once, your performance in both tasks tends to be worse than if you did them individually. But actually, when we look at how we apply our attention, we're not doing those two things exactly at the same time. We can't divide our attention in the same way that a computer can divide the processing power. You can tell I'm not an IT person. we don't have separate beams of attention, if you like, that one focuses on driving and one focuses on a phone conversation. Instead, we shift our attention continually back and forth between the two tasks. We're not necessarily aware of that because our brains fill in gaps for us. That's how visual perception and attention works every day, irrespective of whether we're driving or walking down the street or watching TV. Our brains fill in gaps for us all the time. The problem is when you shift between those tasks, there's this lag, this resumption lag, in which you're not really taking in information. And again, you're not aware because your brain fills in the gaps. And in most situations, it doesn't matter. But in a situation where you're driving a couple of tons of metal, potentially at 70 miles an hour on a motorway, and someone pulls out in front of you, you know, split seconds matter. So we're all told that we can and that we should multitask because we need to keep on, get stuff done. But that's not actually how our brains work. We shift.
And one of the things that stuck out to me, and you kind of touched on it before, was hands-free and how there's virtually no difference between using a hands-free device and using a mobile. So obviously the big difference is you'd be using a hand if you're with a mobile, but I suppose in terms of the cognitive functions, there's no difference. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So all of my research is on hands-free mobile phone use, which of course is perfectly legal. So there's loads of research in this area. There was loads of existing research in this area before I even started looking at it. And we know collectively from that research that if you use a phone whilst driving, handheld or hands-free, you're four times more likely to be involved in a collision. That effect can last for up to 5 minutes after you've ended your phone use. So that's the cognitive distraction. Some of my own research has shown that if you are using a phone, again, handheld or hands-free, you're far less likely to notice hazards. And if you don't notice them, you don't react to them, which can explain your increased collision risk, probably. Yeah. Those hazards that distracted drivers do notice, they take significantly long to react to, which means they hit the brakes later, which means far longer stopping distances. And again, worse potential outcomes for all involved. And we also know that if you're using a phone hands-free, your situational awareness is massively depleted. So you're looking around the scene far less. We know that from lots of eye tracking stuff. I've done lots of eye tracking stuff myself. But also your kind of mental model of that driving situation isn't being updated. So you're not keeping track of what's going on behind you. You're looking in your mirrors. You're not using your indicators. If we were to freeze frame that driving situation, say, what color is the car behind you? You'd probably have absolutely no idea whether or not there was a car behind you. So all of these things come together to create a real problem. So there is, in terms of the distraction that imposes and how it affects your driving, there is no benefit in using a hands-free system compared to using a handheld device. It's just that one form is illegal and the other isn't.
So playing devil's advocate, what's the difference between using hands-free and talking to someone in passenger seat?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's a perfectly logical question. The difference is it's shared environment. So if you've got a passenger in the car with you, they can see what you can see. They can regulate how much of a demand they're making on your attention. So they can stop talking if they can see that you're facing something a bit challenging. They can also help you out. You know, have you seen this guy coming up on your outside? And so someone on the phone doesn't have the benefit of that shared environment, so will consistently demand your attention, even if you need that attention for a particular challenging driving situation. So that's one thing. That's the key difference. But some of my own research has looked into, well, specifically why? Why is that? Like, what is it that's different about talking to someone who isn't physically present other than them not being able to see what you can see? And some research that I did with Graham Hole at the University of Sussex looked into this. And we found that there's a natural tendency to create images in your mind when you talk to someone who's not physically present with you. So you might picture where they are, what they're up to, what they're describing. And it turns out that brain areas and the cognitive attentional resources needed to create those mental images are the same cognitive resources and brain areas needed for accurate visual perception of that driving scene. So what happens essentially is you've got a competition for shared brain areas and shared cognitive resources. And as with most competitions, if one side wins, then those resources and that focus is taken. So if the phone conversation wins the resources, the driving performance deteriorates in all the ways that we talked about. And vice versa. You could zone out of your phone conversation and your driving performance could remain constant. But that doesn't tend to happen because people seem to be unwilling to let that phone conversation drop. So it seems that the issue with a hands-free phone conversation is that it has a visual component to it, even though you don't think it is, it does. And so that's why both eyes on the road, both hands on the wheel, doesn't mean that you're actually seeing what's in front of you. And we know that from some of our other research, where we've demonstrated what's called inattentional blindness, looking but failing to see.
The thing I wanted to mention there, and I just wanted to emphasize this, all the stuff you've spoken about today is scientifically proven. It's not someone looking down the road and seeing that there's no curvature, so assuming the earth is flat. It's scientifically proven, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's all peer-reviewed, published, empirically based research.